Today's audiocast for Monday, September 5th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. Post-crash fire. Canadian officials want tougher standards for general aviation. The Canadian Transport Safety Board is recommending the FAA and Transport Canada beef up certification standards for small aircraft in light of a study that shows many crash victims survive the impact only to be killed or horribly injured by fires that start after the crash. In a report issued, ironically, a day after Comair Flight 5191 crashed and burned in Lexington, the TSB says occupants of small airplanes are potentially more at risk from what it calls post-impact fires because of the close quarters of the cabin and the proximity of the occupants to the fuel. It wants regulators to impose fuel system safety standards on light aircraft similar to those adopted for helicopters in 1994. In the TSB's ideal world, new fuel system standards would apply not only to certified aircraft but to home-builts and ultralights. A 2001 Johns Hopkins University study looked at the same issue from a slightly different perspective and came up with a similar conclusion. The institution's School of Public Health and Hygiene revealed in its study of Alaskan accidents that the biggest difference between crashes in which the occupants survived and those in which they were killed was whether or not there was a post-crash fire. One relevant quote from the report states that post-crash fire was the strongest predictor of fatality for pilots in the study, the paper concludes, noting that fuel systems that could withstand impact forces more effectively and keep from igniting when a crash occurred could lessen the number of post-crash fires, improving survivability. If fire is the problem, what's the solution? Well, Fomex, a Pennsylvania company whose main business is making cushion material for beds and furniture, is in the final stages of an FAA-funded research project to come up with an affordable way to make aircraft fuel tanks more fire and explosion resistant. As we described in our September 22nd audiocast, Fomex Technical Products has developed a special type of polyurethane foam that, when installed in fuel tanks, slows or prevents the rapid spread a fire within a tank and shows promise to reduce the effects of post-crash fires, according to a Fomex news release. Dr. Chu Chan, Fomex's Director of Research and Development, told AvWeb the foam is mostly air and displaces only 3% of the available tank volume. And although air and fuel flow freely through the foam, it acts as a three-dimensional fire screen, preventing the spread of a fire. It also acts as a plug in the case of a fuel tank rupture, slowing the escape of fuel. Shifting gears back to the joy of flight, some new airplanes are working to revive old designs. The driving force behind a Native American bid to enter the small aircraft business has decided to go it alone. James E. Billy, who went by Chief Jim Billy when he was chairman of the Seminole Tribe of Florida, has taken over all assets, including the type certificate of the Micco Aircraft Corporation. He's renamed it Micco Aircraft Company Incorporated and is moving the operation from Fort Pierce, Florida to Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I just couldn't see this aircraft not being built, Billy said in a news release. It hurt after all the effort of the Micco team and the funding of the tribe to see it thrown away, he said. Although the SP-26, a fast aerobatic two-seater, was certified in 2000, it never really made it into significant production. On the lighter side, while the sport pilot rule was originally aimed at inspiring new aircraft designs and manufacturing, it also spawned a renaissance of popular old designs that meet the weight and performance limitations. And it seems like the design many credit with starting the modern GA movement, the Piper J3 Cub, is leading the LSA charge. There's fierce competition between Cub crafters of Yakima, Washington, and American Legend of Sulphur Springs, Texas, for the copy Cub market. American Legend is holding a homecoming for about 100 Legend Cub owners and pilots October 20th through the 21st. It's been building them for 15 months. Cub Crafters is celebrating its first two Sport Cub customer deliveries after 3 years of development efforts. And in Alaska, a company is reviving one of the most popular bush plane designs, Airframes Incorporated of Big Lake, Alaska, and Dakota Cub of Brandon, South Dakota have teamed to create the Super 18 Corporation to build modern versions of the PA-18 Super Cub and its no LSA. With a 180-horsepower engine, the Super 18 will carry 1,000 pounds for a maximum takeoff weight of about 2,400 pounds. The FAA says Bakersfield Municipal Airport will remain an airport in perpetuity despite the current city council's development designs. The city asked the FAA to relieve it of its obligations under the airport improvement program so it could sell off the airport for housing and commercial development. The FAA could have simply said no, citing the agreements it has in place with Bakersfield as part of the city's acceptance of about $10 million worth of federally funded improvements. But according to AOPA, Catherine Lang, the agency's acting associate administrator for airports, took the time to spell out the reasoning and to debunk the city's position that it's dangerous and a drain on its coffers. Meanwhile, across the country in Tennessee, one man's airport dream appears to be over. Though the tiny town of Kalioka doesn't face the same urban pressures as fast-growing Bakersfield, ironically, that's why Harry Askey has been forced to close the private strip he's been using for 13 years. Askey claims that when he asked Maury County officials if an airstrip was allowed on his 80-acre property, he was told it was fine with them. Askey says they told him he was in a rural area and could do what he wanted, including the installation and operation of a private airstrip. However, Askey never thought to check that assurance, and it's come back to haunt him. Newcomers are trickling into the area in pursuit of a quiet country lifestyle, and a neighbor recently lodged a formal complaint against the airstrip. That's when county officials determined that Askey's property was in a zone that does not allow airstrips. Askey says he's been asked to take his love of flying and practice it at the local airport. Turning our eyes back to California, locally imposed restrictions on the operation of experimental exhibition aircraft, most of them warbirds, have been lifted at the airports in the Los Angeles basin. EAA says the relaxation came after 3 years of lobbying by the group. In 2003, the Van Nuys Flight Standards District Office decreed that experimental aircraft were effectively banned from four local airports, although the existing aircraft could continue using the airports where they were based, but if they moved or were sold, they weren't welcome. Van Nuys FSDO officials reasoned that experimental aircraft, by their classification, posed an increased risk to the densely populated area surrounding the airports in question, Van Nuys, Santa Barbara, Burbank, and Whiteman. In an EAA news release, the organization says another memo has now been written that supersedes the old memo, and any airport limitations or restrictions on experimental exhibition aircraft developed by the field offices based on the prior memorandum are rescinded. It was perhaps an appropriate scenario to end a storied era in military aviation. The Navy, quite wisely as it turned out, had a spare airplane waiting in the wings for the ceremonial final flight of an F-14 Tomcat at Oceana Naval Air Station in Virginia last week. Sure enough, the first airplane failed to perform, and it was a spare that took off to the cheers and applause of about 3,000 people attending the ceremony. In practical terms, most of the remaining F-14s have at least one more flight left as they get dispersed to air museums around the country, but their days as Cold War air superiority fighters and later on ground support aircraft are officially over. A Montreal man whose SUV was damaged by a Piper Cherokee making a forced landing last week says he can't believe the spin his insurance company is putting on the mishap. Allstate says Bill Mack must pay the $1,000 deductible on the $4,000 in damages his Dodge Durango sustained when the Cherokee dropped in on him. There were no serious injuries in the crash. Quebec has a no-fault type of system in which insurance companies cover their clients' losses with no deductible, but that only applies to car crashes. And Allstate spokesman Derek Tupling told the Montreal Gazette the company has to investigate cases like this to determine who's at fault, something Mac found hard to take. Perhaps adding insult is that the Canadian Transportation Safety Board's initial report faults the pilot for moving the plane's fuel tank selector to the wrong position and starving the engine of fuel. Well, it's doubtful any airplane is loud enough to wake the dead, but Craven County Airport Authority near New Bern, North Carolina, isn't taking any chances. The county is giving back $204,000 in federal funding after Civil War-era graves were found near the proposed site of new hangars and right where the new taxiway was supposed to go. The Army leveled the cemetery during the Second World War to build an airstrip, and the dearly departed from historic days gone by were all but forgotten. But they came to light in a 1970s battle against a runway extension, and to date, 522 graves have been identified on the airport land, not including the unknown number most recently found. Finally, Dumbo the Aero Car is for sale. The asking price is only $3.5 million. As a car, it can charitably be described as ugly. As an airplane, it's almost beyond description, but one of four Aero Cars left in the world, one crashed, is for sale in Grand Junction, Colorado. Carl and Marilyn Felling say they don't want to sell the machine they call Dumbo, but it's part of their divorce settlement. Ironically, they obtained the extraordinarily rare contraption through a divorce sale 20 years ago. Marilyn Felling knows what you're thinking and told the Grand Junction Sentinel that she wouldn't say the car is cursed by divorce. The Molt Taylor design was actually certified by the Civil Aviation Authority in 1956, but it never went into production. Well, that's it for today, but you can find all these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Comments on our podcast are always welcome. Just email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, September 29. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening to AvWeb Audio.